Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
When we think about AI, we are totally embracing AI. We believe that it is going to be your partner as you're moving forward, not only in education, but in business and industry.
If calling AI my partner going forward is meant to reassure me and encourage me about the future, it does not. This is Caroline Walters. She is Columbia Southern University's chief relations officer. If you don't know, Columbia Southern is a online university that operates out of Orange Beach. And it's right there on the Foley Beach Express. That's what it's called, right? I've driven it 1,000 times and I just suddenly doubt myself on the name. I actually didn't know where it was. I was talking at my table yesterday because we had not heard of it. And I asked, and somebody looked it up. And then my wife said, of course you know where it is. We drive past it all the time. I'm like, okay. it happens. That's real life. But yeah, so an online university, it's not all that surprising. A university that's as old as the internet. Literally, they've been doing online learning since the beginning it was able to be done. She says that they are working with AI a lot. This was at a luncheon yesterday at the Chamber of Commerce. It was both superintendents, Karen Barber and Keith Leonard. Also, the presidents of both colleges, Ed Meadows and Manny Diaz were there. We'll get to some of that in a second. But I wanted you to hear what I consider to be kind of an outlier in tone. But, hey, she is an educational professional, and she is, representing a viewpoint. And I thought it was an interesting one, even though I think I disagree with it. But, here you go.
We're in the process of establishing a center of excellence in AI, and that's where all the policies are being developed that are implemented throughout the university. And it'll be the governors for how we're using AI, both operationally and in the classroom.
So they are not just embracing it, they're thinking of it as something that they need to be focusing on because it's clearly an opportunity for them to expand and grow and, react to the growing use of AI.
And I really want to encourage you guys, if you have not played around with it, go make a grocery list. Just see what it can do for you there, right? And as you said,
okay, I was baffled by that. I don't know how AI can help me make a grocery list. I don't get it.
It doesn't know what I like and
right,
what and I don't.
It doesn't know what I don't have in the fridge and doesn't know what I'm hungry for. I'm befuddled by the. She seemed to think this was a very clear assignment. I didn't get it, and that's obviously I don't understand. And that doesn't mean it's a bad idea. It just means I didn't understand it.
Begins to be a thought partner with you.
No! No thought partners!
See how it begins to be a thought partner with you? Then you can begin to say, hey, maybe I can rewrite this email a little bit and plug it in there. And as you in business and industry begin to embrace it, I can promise you the younger generation, they're in there digging around and embracing it. So yeah, I encourage you to get educated with AI and what it can do for you and just help all of our students grow as they transition into the workforce.
And by the way, I don't think she's wrong about that. I think it's something that is being used widely, certainly young people, my kids, your kids use AI. If you don't realize, they are absolutely using
right.
AI. In fact, we did a story yesterday, John, you weren't back yet. Good to have you back, by the way.
Thank you.
About how AI is becoming so prevalent in the workforce that some people, 1 in 6 respondents to a survey said they actually feel pressured to use AI. And I thought it was funny. I'm like trying to imagine, Bob, looks like maybe you wrote this letter on your own. No, I use the AI. Trust me, I use the AI. Like the opposite of the plagiarism those people are trying to avoid. So anyway, Karen Barber, superintendent for Santa Rosa County Schools.
Summer, we had an AI middle school camp, and students learned about the history of AI, the uses of AI, and the jobs that are going to be available in the workforce when it comes to AI.
So, somewhat embracing Keith Leonard, a Scambia superintendent.
I remember when I first started out teaching in August of 1986, we had the Sunshine State Standards, and you had to go through the teacher's edition, other periodicals, be able to write down section 2.3, and exactly what you were going to be doing, and it would take hours upon hours each night just to stay ahead of the students. Now, that might have been because I had artificial intelligence. It took a while. You can get those lesson plans very, very quickly, and you can be prepared as an educator.
Yeah, he used the example of teaching Hammurabi's code that, AI, done, do your lesson planning. As a teacher, I know it takes time to make a lesson plan.
It does.
But part of the value of doing it yourself is you're relearning the material, you're pre-lecturing it, you're really thinking it through, and you're doing what's best for your students based on your expert judgment and knowledge. So I can see that it makes things easier in a lot of cases, but I'm just not convinced that easier is always better. Now, Ed Meadows, for whatever reason, was very, very soft, and he is a very soft-spoken gentleman. So I don't know if this is going to be able to be understood or not, but I want to give him the chance to say it because it's such a good point.
I'm trying to think of one word, and I don't have one word, but I think it's the responsibility of all of us educational leaders to continue to scan the horizon of what's next. And certainly, AI is not next this year.
He says responsibility is our obligation as educators, and it's our job to think about what's next and adapt to it and prepare students for it. He says AI is not what's next. It's already here. And I thought that was pretty accurate, frankly. A couple more comments in just a second on this subject from Manny Diaz, but John Pickens got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-110 southbound approaching Brent Lane, a multi-car accident just happened. Vehicles out of the roadway, but traffic is stopped in that area, so just be aware of that. Let's see here. The rest of I-10 looks good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Back to the conversation being had yesterday at the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce Education Luncheon. Ed Meadows also said, I won't play you the audio because it is quite poor quality, that they're using AI in the classroom and in administration, both. And I saw a story about South Florida where it's actually in the K-12, like in the high schools. They're using it in the classroom as a collaborative learning and developmental tool. Like, you're just learning and writing right along with the AI. And I'm so horrified by all of this. Not because of the, Skynet Judgment Day Matrix kind of stuff, but because of what I think the human ought to do in learning, and because we have for thousands of years done learning in a very productive way, and now it feels like we are abandoning the project of traditional learning. And we're just saying, we don't need to do it anymore. Like, you don't need to do math. You have a calculator. You don't need to learn, spell checker and grammar. You've got the little green and the red squiggly underlines, and now you don't need to learn how to think and express yourself because the AI can do it for you. It's like Idiocracy and WALL-E all rolled up in one in terms of where the human is going. It's how it feels to me as a guy who really believes in traditional liberal arts, particularly education, logic, reasoning, expression, writing, all that kind of stuff. Manny Diaz, of course, the interim president at UWF.
On the other side is having the discussion with students, right? Because at an academic institution, responsible use of AI and ethical use of AI, it is clearly a tool. And we don't have to dust off the World Book Encyclopedia. It's at our fingertips. But at what point is it responsible and ethical use when you're trying to create an assignment?
Yeah. What is the ethical responsible use of it, if any? And I sympathize with what Keith Leonard was saying is I remember putting things together with multiple books, card catalogs, note cards, indexes, highlighter, tabs, all that. But I actually think that the kinesthetic interaction with the material, like on a page versus on a reader, enhances the learning opportunity, especially for people who are tactile learners, which is many people are neither visual nor auditory, or at least they like having the physical supplement, the other things. The educational environment is heavily biased towards the auditory and visual learning environment. And people who are like, kids fidget. Why? Might be kinesthetic learners. They like to do and play and work with their hands. They might grow up to be mechanical engineers. I have a kid, that's... Anyway, kind of getting off track here, but he says that he's not fully embraced the AI widget on his email program yet.
As was mentioned before, you can use it to help enhance your email responses. And in fact, there's a little widget on there that I learned will do that for you automatically without you asking.
No.
Not sure I feel comfortable with that yet, but...
Yeah, I sympathize. I'm not sure I feel comfortable with the AI automatically enhancing down my writing. Just how it always does it.
The greatest danger, I think, that faces education, and especially higher education, is not adapting to what's coming around that curve, right? Because I think you've seen across the country the issues that have occurred when it comes to student debt, when it comes to some of the programs that have been offered traditionally at universities, and folks... Investors, right? Taxpayers, people who give money to endowments, starting to ask the question what the return on investment is.
Right. All of those. The relevance of education, especially higher education, to job prospects, economic success, making you a better human being. Is it equipping you to function in the world that's coming, not just the world that's here right now or the world that was here 30 years ago?
So the greatest threat is not adapting to what is coming. We have to be able to adapt. And in higher ed, traditionally, there's been that resistance of being more traditional and waiting. And these things are moving at a very rapid pace. All of you know that are in industry. The jobs and the careers that are there today are not going to be there 2-3 years from now. And there's so many variables from AI to other things. How do we adapt and make sure that we're paying attention to what we're providing our students today? But at the same time, you have to have one eye on what's going to happen around that curve, because if you fall behind, then you very easily are doing a disservice to the students that are coming through your program. So I think the biggest threat is not adapting.
Yeah, but you can almost, if you do a little bit of imagination, you could see a world in which, why do we have universities? I mean, I used to actually have that question. You know, we've got books. Why do we need universities? Right? Because that's what you do in the universities. You go read the book. But it's getting more like that, where you might say to yourself, hey, I'd like to become an expert in kinesiology. AI, please craft me a curriculum that I can learn everything I need. You know what I mean? We're not quite there, but we're
getting
not far
there.
Off. So that's what he's thinking about, is what's the relevance of higher education going forward in the future. Last clip here from Karen Barber talking about, again, that same relevance question.
Dr. Meadows likes to come up with a key word, and I do as well. And my word is relevant. Public education has to be relevant to families, to students, to the community. So as we work to produce students that are good citizens, we need to make sure that what they're learning every day is going to be relevant to the problems in our community, to the challenges in our community, to the needs in our community. And if we lose that relevance, then people are going to choose other things. Then we're going to see dropout rates increase. So we have to be relevant every day.
Which has been a problem for forever. I mean, how many of you thought to yourself, when am I ever going to use this in my real life? And then how many of you as adults are like, I have never used that in my real life. All right. 722 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
I want to thank all of our listeners who tune in to our daily Strength for Life segments here in Pensacola and across the country. Thank you for your emails. Thank you for your thoughtful feedback. Thank you for humbly letting God strengthen you through the principles of His Word and the power of His Spirit. If you're interested in more Strength for Life, please check out our YouTube channel. Our radio segments are only 60 seconds in length, but our YouTube video segments provide 4 to 5 minute videos of practical Bible content on topics such as overcoming jealousy, how to strengthen your marriage, and much more. Find our YouTube channel by searching Strength for Life Pensacola and be sure to subscribe. We produce fresh video content each week, which is certain to strengthen your walk with God and strengthen your relationship with others.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
Lexus, BMW, Jaguar.
Where is the best place to take your vehicle for service and repair? That, my friend, is Matrix Auto Service, the future of auto service.
Porsche, Mercedes, Land Rover.
Their expert technicians provide top-notch service and repairs to all makes and models. At Matrix Auto Service, they pride themselves on transparency, honesty, and customer satisfaction, with their number one goal, getting you back on the road quickly and safely. Matrix Auto Service, 5675 North Davis Highway.
Ready to level up your future? George Stone Technical College trains students for real-world careers, fast. From welding to healthcare, IT to public safety, their hands-on programs get you job-ready in months, not years. And yes, financial aid and grant opportunities are available for all students. Affordable, local, career-focused? Visit georgestonecollege.edu. That's georgestonecollege.edu, and take the first step today. You can change your life at George Stone.
Okay, let's talk about renovation and how it's not like your ordinary happy ending home makeover show.
Example, they're the guys who prey on homeowners and never show up to do the work. So that's why the state of Florida licenses contractors. You can check if your contractor is licensed at the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation website at myfloridalicense.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Business and Professional Regulation, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 923.
Always have to be Lucky Charms.
Whoa! Hey! Whoa!
I've been waiting on the sunset, bills on my mind. Somebody text in, what happens when the electricity or the grid goes down? Most people won't know how to, what to do, and AI will not be able to help you.
I
Dear
know.
AI, how do what do I do in a disaster now that it's already happened? Oh, crap. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still dealing with the accident that happened on I-110 southbound right around biomarker number 5, which is Brent Lane, just south of that. We've got a multi-car crash. It's off to the side of the road, but traffic is at a complete standstill in that area, so just be aware of that. Let's see here. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, starting to see those construction delays. Other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5.
Pardon me if you already said it, but are we seeing anything today with the Outcast bait sale? I think that's happening this weekend. Are we seeing any slowdowns in that area?
No.
I don't see anything yet. I'm just looking at the map real quick. I was talking to Brent Lane about that yesterday. So, all right, John, thank you so much for the update. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, thank you for the reminder on the Outcast sale.
There you
That's
go.
Always a highlight of every year.
There you go.
The FBI carried out a raid on the home of President Trump's former national security advisor, John Bolton, early this morning. That confirmed by FBI Director Kash Patel. He posted on X, quote, "No one is above the law." He did not offer any details on what prompted that action.
John Bolton's official Secret Service code name is the mustache. Or at least it should be. If it's not, it
stash.
Should be. Stash. Go on, David.
Employment visas for commercial truck drivers being put on hold after a driver who was in the U.S. illegally was involved in a deadly crash. Authorities say he was driving a commercial tractor trailer. On the Florida Turnpike earlier this month when he accidentally killed 3 people in a minivan. And a key global hunger monitor says the northern Gaza Strip is now experiencing famine and that it will spread to the rest of the region by the end of September. The hunger organization said that after 2 years of war, more than 500,000 Palestinians are facing starvation.
All right, David, thank you so much for the update. If you're thinking about your next home or maybe downsizing or increasing, I mean, if you've got a growing family, you want more, and if you have empty nesters, you want, you know, maybe to go to a condo instead of having the big home to take care of stuff like you've got now. Maybe you're thinking about just relocating, you know, from the beach to the city, from the city to the country, into a different neighborhood. You know, I don't know. Or you want to pick up a vacation rental or a long-term rental. If it's a real estate transaction, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty can help you with it. Outstanding expertise, customer service, listen to your situation, help you figure it out. And she, one of the things she always says is, Andrew, I just love meeting people. And I know she does. I mean, I've known Christina as long as we've lived here. And, you know, she's just delightful and loves meeting people, loves talking to them, answering their questions, helping them navigate their way through whatever problem or question they have. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. Big news yesterday, the passing of Jim Dobson. James Dobson died at the age of 89.
Wow.
And, man, I mean, you know, 89 is a full life, and certainly he had a full life.
Oh, yes.
I think he and Shirley were married for 63 years, I believe that's correct, if I'm not mistaken, which is pretty good, 63, good Lord. That's amazing. But, you know, the founder of Focus on the Family, the founder of the Family Research Council, I would say after Billy Graham, you tell me if you disagree with this, John, but I'd say other than Billy Graham, no one has had more influence on American culture and politics from a religious perspective than Jim Dobson.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, he was the, you know, you think of like the old Sears and Penney's being the anchor stores at your mall. His program, Focus on the Family, was the anchor program on every religious broadcasting radio station in the United States. Fair?
Yes.
Yeah, and, you know, fantastic information, shaped a whole culture in terms of you know, counterculture that was really out there advocating what we now call wokeism and feminism and, you know, be your kid's friend, that kind of nonsense. And he came along and said, no, 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 this is the way it's supposed to work. You know, traditional family values, traditional, you know, Christian morality, raising kids, corporal discipline, like all of that stuff was all focused on the family. So, and, you know, he was an advisor to five presidents.
I'm CJ Papa. The Bethesda, Maryland home of former U.S. Ambassador to the UN, John Bolton, raided this morning by the FBI.
We're told that Ambassador Bolton's being cooperative. He's not under arrest, not in custody at this point. 7 o'clock on a Friday morning that the FBI all of a sudden is knocking on the door of John Bolton's home. And I also will say it's important that, you know, this is not just the FBI able to do this. A judge has to sign off on this.
Fox's David Spunt. Bolton was national security advisor to President Trump during part of his first term. One source says agents are looking for potential classified documents. Trump administration touting the success of the D.C. crime crackdown. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum on Fox and Friends says law enforcement appreciates the support.
The enthusiasm and morale is through the roof because they know that President Trump has their back.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is a beautiful Friday morning. We've got 79 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies. Our forecast with Brooke Richardson on the way in just a few minutes. Well, Brownsville's new library is now open. Escambia County cut the ribbon for the facility yesterday morning. It's in the old Masonic Lodge building, which actually has a bit of a dark history. At one time, it hosted Ku Klux Klan meetings. But now?
Today, it's been transformed into a building of hope.
That is Escambia County Commissioner Lumen May. That library, 8,000 square feet. It's got the library and a cafe on the first floor, the second floor with a multi-use community space for senior and kids activities. State Senator Joe Gruters is expected to add another line on his resume today as chair of the Republican National Committee. Tony Figueroa from the Florida Young Republicans says it proves that Florida is the future.
The model that has occurred here in the state is a model of success. It's a model of winning. It's a model that really reaches across many, many broad coalitions.
Gruters is running unopposed for the seat, which is being given up by current chair Michael Whatley. He's running for the U.S. Senate. Gruters is the current RNC treasurer. He has the endorsement of President Trump, who calls him a MAGA warrior. Now, over 400 kids currently on a wait list for the school readiness program in Escambia County due to a shortage of qualified child care workers. The Early Learning Coalition says providers are operating at just 70% capacity.
For every dollar you put into preschool or early learning, you're saving anywhere from $7 to $16 in cost to society to either mitigate the fact they didn't get the learning and they're not ready to be adults, or they get into drugs, they get into crime, all the social services that have to be spent on. We can save that money if we spend the dollar today. We don't pay $7 to $16 tomorrow.
And that's Escambia County Program Director Bruce Watson. He says many families are now hesitant to apply for the program due to the funding issues. He says high demand, low wages, and employee turnover are the biggest problems they face. Watson says he can't guarantee that situation will improve anytime soon. Well, a win for those trying to shut down alligator Alcatraz. A federal judge did rule yesterday the state does have to halt construction at the immigrant detention facility and tear down infrastructure already built within 60 days. That ruling made after the state was sued in June for violating environmental laws while building and maintaining the facility. The judge said the facility could cause water to run into the Miccosukee tribal lands during a storm, and also said the facility's lights could disrupt the Florida bonneted bat. The state has filed a notice to appeal that decision. Well, the company that hired a driver involved in a deadly truck crash in St. Lucie County could have consequences. Governor Ron DeSantis on Fox last night discussing the crash on the Florida Turnpike. An illegal immigrant driving a tractor trailer made an illegal U-turn, caused a crash that killed three people in a van. Governor DeSantis says Florida will be going after the company that employed the driver, but he didn't offer any details on what the punishment for that company could be. 735 at News Radio 92.3. John's got our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Just one accident on the books right now. I-110 southbound. We've got an accident that just happened just south of Brent Lane, and it's causing traffic to go very, very slowly. Traffic is backed up all the way to I-10 eastbound. So if you're trying to make that cutoff there, you're going to experience some major delays, about 15 to 20 minutes. Let's see here. Highway 29, I-10 at east at Highway 29, seeing some delays eastbound right there through that construction zone. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thank you very much, John. 77 degrees right now. Our next news at 8, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Investors are looking forward to Powell's speech at the Central Bank's annual economic symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, later today, hoping to gain clarity on the interest rate outlook. According to CME's FedWatch tool, markets were last pricing in a 75% chance of a quarter point cut at the September meeting. New court filings say Elon Musk asked Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg to help him finance a more than $97 billion takeover of OpenAI in early 2025. The filing was part of a lawsuit between Musk and OpenAI that was initiated last year. Meta and Zuckerberg received a letter of intent from Musk, but never signed it. OpenAI has confirmed that Julia Villagra, the company's chief people officer, is leaving at the end of the week. It's the latest high-profile shakeup at the artificial intelligence startup. Futures are slightly higher. Thursday, the Dow Industrials lost 152, the NASDAQ down 72. That's Your Money Now.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider. Right now, offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
News Radio Pensacola has you covered no matter where you are or how you like to listen. Tune into our frequencies on 92.3 FM, 95.3 FM, and AM 1620 for the latest breaking news, local updates, and in-depth analysis. Can't be near a radio? No problem. Stream us live on our website or through our convenient app. Available for download on your mobile device. Plus, with our smart device integration, you can ask your virtual assistant to play News Radio 92.3, and we'll be right there with you. It's News Radio Pensacola.
On item C, do I relinquish to the vice chair to do this? Because I will make the motion. At this point, you'll carry out Mr. Harrell, if you wouldn't mind carrying out the vote.
Thank you, Dr. Williams. Do I have a motion?
I make a motion to amend the school board resolution 2025-1.
And I'll second.
So this was the Escambia County School Board meeting that took place this week. You had their Chair David Williams, who passed the gavel to make a motion. That's a Robert's Rules formality, because typically the person chairing the meeting doesn't make the motions. They let other people make the motions. But in this case, I'm guessing, because he suspected that there would only be two people that would be in favor of this, he wanted to make the motion, and then Carissa Bergosh was going to second it. So he passed the gavel to Tom Harrell, who then let him, he was the vice chair, let him make the motion. The motion was to change the date when we were going to have the referendum next year for whether to return to an elected superintendent or to keep the appointed superintendent. And, you know, we've been talking about this a fair amount. We've only a few years ago, what, 4 years ago, I guess, we went to the appointed superintendent. And, you know, it turned out not to be such a great thing with Tim Smith for whatever reason. There's lots of theories about this, but has now turned out to be a very good thing with Keith Leonard by pretty much everybody's account. But still, you know, there are several people in the community who do not like the idea of an appointed superintendent. Several members of the school board also do not like it, and they want to return to having an elected superintendent. In fact, kind of weirdly, they want to return to an elected superintendent so that people can elect Keith Leonard, who we already have as a superintendent. It's so weird to me. But the question had been, when would we have this on the ballot? Remember, the county commission, particularly Stephen Berry, made the point of, how is this our business? You know, it's not our business. It's their business to pick. And so the question is, do you have it at the time of the primary, or do you have it at the time of the general election? And the argument for having at the time of the primary, well, I'll let the people make their point, but, you know, there's been a debate. So they had originally picked it for the primary next year, and there was a move to switch it to the general election. So Kevin Adams, who is one of the advocates for the return to an elected superintendent.
Yeah, I will be voting no on this motion. In a way, one of the biggest complaints I've seen on the last time we had this referendum, it was on that ballot, which was what, several pages, had all those other referendums. This will be the big topic on that primary. And if people want to vote, they'll come vote. If they don't want to vote, then they don't care about the issue. So I'm going to go ahead and support what we've already done and vote no.
So he wants to keep it at the primary. This is a weird argument. It's weird because I get the point about a long ballot, but what he's saying is the primary election is where people can, who really care about this issue, can choose to make their voice heard. If they're for elected, they can come vote for it. If they're for appointed, they can come vote for it. And if they don't care enough to come vote specifically at a time when there's always lower turnout in the primary, then fine, we can take that as a statement too. But it's a kind of, we're going to capitalize on having lower turnout for an issue, which always strikes me as a weird thing, especially when it's something that affects every student indirectly in the county. My argument has been all along, the general election, of course. I mean, of course. You know, I don't want it just when the people who show up for the primary. The general election is a higher turnout, always. That's when we ought to have this referendum. His argument is, I don't know if everybody ought to vote on this. Let's just have the primary voters. And if they care, they can come out to vote for that, too. It seems to me like this is more intended to game the system and produce an outcome rather than to achieve some great accomplishment in fairness. And that's what bothers me, because you know me, I hate when people fiddle with the system in order to try to get an outcome, whether it's gerrymandering districts or whether it's, in this case, picking the time to have a referendum. I don't ever remember having a referendum at a primary. I may be wrong. I may be forgetting something, but ballot initiatives are always in the general election. Now, by the way, if you might be wondering, people, I think, unless Robert Bender is going to tell me I'm wrong about this, you should still be able to vote even if there is no ballot for you as a Democrat or a Republican. Like if you live in a district like I live in, I'm a Republican in a Democrat District 3, typically I wouldn't get to vote during the primary, maybe vote for other things. But like it's possible you could live where you don't even have a vote to cast. You would still get to vote in on this issue. It would still be a Democrat ballot or a Republican ballot for you at the primary for this only. But I just don't think we've ever done it this way. Let's see. Let's get traffic on the fives, and we'll come back to this. 437-1620 if you want to weigh in. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
If you're just now getting on I-110 southbound between Brent and I-10, we've got two accidents that occurred that's slowing down traffic tremendously. It is moving, I can tell you that, but traffic is slowed down, about a 7 to 9 minute delay. Also, Davis Highway southbound approaching Olive Road, seeing about a 9 to 10 minute congestion delay. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
We just got a text from one of my favorite heroes, Sergeant Mike Hoyland.
Oh.
Is working the Outcast sale today.
Oh, okay.
And he texted me and said, it's safe, it's good crowd, no traffic or parking issues, everything is working well and it's super safe because I'm here working it.
That's right.
Mike is the one who shot the terrorist at Anand's Pensacola, mm-hmm. one of the team of three Escambia County Sheriff's deputies who responded. He's the one that grabbed the rifle and plink, plink. I mean, because he's genuinely a real-life badass. And I mean, I love Mike. He's great. Anyway, back to this conversation about the elected versus superintendent versus appointed superintendent. Carissa Bergosh says,
I will be voting yes. What is the goal of this resolution? It is to get the wide variety of snapshot of the entire community. So we have more people voting in the general than we do in the primary. So I would like to see a bigger picture, bigger opportunity for all families to come out and show their support.
Yeah, I mean, this literally to me is a no-brainer. I cannot see a genuine reason other than trying to manipulate the system that people are on the other side of this. You want the maximum number of votes. And whether it's coming from, you know, the Democrat or the Republican, I don't care. It's fairness. This affects everybody. Everybody ought to have a say in it. It's really squirrely and weird to me trying to shove it into the primary election. But, you know, that's what Kevin Adams says he wants to. Tom Harrell also, who's District 5. I'm not as up to date on the school board members as I should be. Sorry.
I would. I waited till last as the chair. I would recommend that our members of the board who voted for this in the past continue this. That we not break the pattern that we've already established with this. There's been a lot of special interest lobbying on this. It would not be before us tonight if that special interest had gotten their way and it stayed in the other groups.
Well, okay, but still, that's the nature of politics, is you come up with an idea, you try to persuade people, you advertise for it, you spend money, and they got a result. It's kind of like what you're saying is that you don't want to give people the opportunity to have that process again because you're worried that side might win again. I don't know which side would win in this. And I'll just be honest, I don't really care. I don't have a strong lean on this issue. I can see it both ways. I see virtue in an elected and virtue in an appointed and problems in an appointed and problems in an elected. So this is not like Andrew's angling at a certain outcome. I just think it's abundantly clear that the fair way is let everybody vote on it, which means the general, and everybody can vote on it in a primary, but the fair way is to get as many people involved in the process so they own the result as much as possible.
In my opinion, this is what's best for boys and girls. It's best for the community.
He means best to go back to an elected.
I agree with what one of my colleagues just said, that there's a lot of, there's going to be a lot on the ballot, and if people are interested, they'll come out and vote. Before this, when this was held, all of the advantages were toward the group that sponsored the referendum. A bunch of money was thrown at this, and it barely passed. Now the wording is more favorable for it, and I would recommend that we vote we continue the way the things are now.
Okay, I don't understand what A has to do with B. All the money, the wording, people didn't understand. They barely passed it before. Okay. But how does any of that translate to therefore have it during the primary? I'm sorry. I just don't see a logical connection between premises and conclusion. So I don't know. Tell me if I'm wrong. If you see something about this that I'm missing, feel free to tell me. I'm always willing to be wrong if you can point it out to me. But again, this seems very much like the people who want to return to an elected superintendent are strategizing, to make up a word. You know, they're deliberately working the system in such a way as they think will produce more likely that outcome. And by the way, the practical reason here, if you think about it, is we live in a highly Republican county. And I'm guessing the theory goes something like this. The Republicans are going to have a primary to vote in. Democrats may not. Therefore, Democrats won't be showing up to vote in a primary because they won't have candidates to vote for. And so if we do it in the primary, we have Republicans who are more likely to vote for an elected superintendent is the best theory I've got. And so that's why they wanted it at the primary. Now, I can't say that out loud, you know, because that sounds really scuzzy. But is there another explanation, really? 750 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Flashlights, check. Camp stove, check. Canned goods, check. Ice chests, check.
Say, what you doing there, neighbor? Going camping?
Not exactly, but it is hurricane season. We've already had a few power outages just with thunderstorms, so I'm getting prepared.
I see. Getting ready for a little indoor camping.
Yeah, you know how it is.
Actually, I don't. We have natural gas from Pensacola Energy at our house, so when the power is out, we still cook up a storm and take hot showers. And since we added the whole house generator, we just keep on like nothing happened.
Must be nice.
It is. Pensacola Energy made it really easy, and we got some great rebates.
How can I get in on that?
Forget indoor camping and get comfortable with natural gas. To learn more about earning up to $3,000 in rebates, call Pensacola Energy at 850-436-5050 or visit PensacolaEnergy.com. We keep on.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. When it comes to safety, Subarus are all-star performers. In fact, the 2025 Subaru Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback earned top marks with a 5-star overall vehicle score from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And the Subaru Ascent has been an IIHS top safety pick for 8 years running. The Forester has been an IIHS top safety pick for 19 years running. And the Outback has been an IIHS top safety pick for 16 years running. All of which explains why the American Customer Satisfaction Index ranks Subaru number one in safety. Subaru, more of what you value most. Get special low rates on select new vehicles during the Subaru A Lot to Love event going on now through September 2nd at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
Florida State football's coming. Are you ready? The season kicks off as the University of Alabama rolls into town for the first time ever. The epic season continues as the Noles take on teams like Virginia, the Hurricanes, Clemson, Florida, and more. Have your business branded inside all the games, plus weekly promos and commercials. A special sponsorship package is waiting just for your business. Get your business on the field. Call 850-262-6000 to be an FSU sponsor right here on News Radio 92.3.
Visit Pensacola is home for all things Pensacola. I'm Darren Schaefer, CEO of Visit Pensacola. Join us on the Pensacola Expert Panel this week as we discuss what is next for our community. This summer, get beach time and ways to help make sure your guests don't miss a thing. Today at 9:30, let us show you the way to beach on News Radio 92.3.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Incredibly bad energy, man.
Good morning, 7:54 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Somebody texted in on this question of when to have the referendum settled. It's going to be on the primary because the school board just voted 3-2. Did I finish up by actually giving the vote? I may maybe failed to do that. Carissa Bergosh and David Williams voted to have it at the general election. Paul Fetsko, who did not comment, and also Kevin Adams and Tom Harrell voted to keep it at the primary. Gosh, I don't know how I failed to tell you the outcome. Telling you this story and I get all distracted. Anyway, sorry about that. Somebody texts in and says, Andrew, you previously said that you like to have a highly informed voter instead of just everybody who's eligible by age or something like that. Maybe the idea behind Kevin Adams' argument is that you have the more informed, more self-selected voters who are more passionate. I agree in general with that. But there are two problems. Number one, I'm still pretty reluctant to game the system around getting even that outcome, which, though I agree with it, is not the legal situation. We ought to honor the principle of maximum voter participation. But second, because I believe that this is being done for partisan reasons in order to get an outcome through a partisan process of a primary, I'd find it very problematic. I want to use stronger terms, but I'm trying to be gracious. Somebody else texts in and says, the whole idea of having a partisan primary is so that the parties can narrow down a field of potential candidates to select their official nominee to compete in the subsequent general election. What part of that fits having any referendum vote? That perfectly said. Conceptually, there's just no fit between having a ballot initiative in the primaries and what primaries are supposed to be. John Pickens has got traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. If you're on I-10 eastbound trying to get on I-110 southbound, right here at the overpass, we've got some traffic that's basically stopped just due to an earlier accident that's right at the edge of the the overpass to I-110 southbound. So be aware of that. I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29, seeing our usual construction and congestion delays there. Also, Highway 29 southbound as you approach I-10 and even past that, we're seeing about a 9 to 11 minute delay there. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Good morning. An update on the FBI raid at former Trump National Security Advisor John Bolton's home in Maryland this morning. FBI agents raided the home looking for classified records. That's according to a source familiar with the matter. Bolton became a strong critic of the president after he left the administration in 2019 and had previously been accused of leaking classified material, but that investigation didn't go anywhere. Yesterday, a federal judge in Miami ruling that no more detainees can be sent to Alligator Alcatraz. The order issued on Thursday requires much of the detention facility in the Everglades to be dismantled within 60 days. The ruling upholds an injunction that was requested over alleged violations of the Environmental Policy Act. And Chipotle is teaming up with Zipline to test drone deliveries. Their initial testing is going on in Dallas, Texas. Some customers in that area have the option for what they're calling Zipotle delivery. Zipline's autonomous aircraft are delivering orders to customers' homes from one of their locations there. The drone delivery service costs $3.15. So that may be what's coming in the future.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. If you're looking for that next vehicle, Frontier Motors has an outstanding selection of good quality cars. And, you know, one of the things I like about Frontier, and so many things I like about them, having bought a bunch of cars in my life, it was such a different experience. They get that you go to the car dealer or the used or the new, and it's kind of adversarial and you dread it because, oh man, what am I going to have to say no to and put up with and be psychologically manipulated? And then I hope I can pry a car out of their hand. And like, just kind of that attitude. Here's their view is, and my recommendation is, think of them more as an ally rather than an adversary. Think of them more as kind of like, I don't know, car buying guidance counselors. You know, like they sell thousands of cars and they know that it's not a pleasant process. And you can ask them their opinion, you know, what are people liking? Because they see cars after people have driven them for a while. And, of course, they see people driving these cars, and they can, you know, hey, you know, what do people like? What don't they like? What features? What, you know, is there anything I'm not seeing here? They know. They sell thousands of cars. They know what people like and don't like, and you can ask them. So think of them that way instead of, like, the people you got to go fight to get your car. Frontier Motors has been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. President Trump largely but not completely exonerated yesterday after an appeals court ruled that the $550 million settlement was ridiculous and politically motivated. But they did still decide, it's a really split up panel of five judges, but they did decide he was still in the wrong, and there's some consequences in terms of who can lead the corporation. But taking away the $500 million judgment, yeah, that's a bit of a win for the president.
Local news every hour and breaking news when it matters most.